I know many of you have a date with holiday leftovers, so I don't want to keep you too long from that. Or perhaps rebelling at holiday leftovers. Is that... Lord, we are so thankful to be able to be here together. Lord, we are thankful that as a nation we celebrate Thanksgiving. And Lord, our Thanksgiving is lifted up to you. We ask you, Lord, to dwell in your people as you desire. Lord, help us to open our eyes and our hearts and our ears and our arms and every part of us to you, Lord, that you might fill us to all fullness and overflowing. And Lord, that there would be an aroma of you as we go about. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for all that you have done among us. And we look forward to what you will do. And Lord, how you may use us, how you will use us. And Lord, we desire to be willing vessels. In your precious name we do pray. Amen. Several weeks ago and then several weeks before that, I shared a little bit about Abraham and his believing God and it being reckoned to him as righteousness. And then more recently, the passage in Romans 7 and 8, the conflict of our flesh with our spirit that is described here by the Apostle Paul. And I feel that this is important to us. It's important to me in that the Lord is... speaking through the Apostle Paul in kind of a unique way here. I don't know if you've thought about this, but he's truly speaking about what's going on inside his heart. And I believe what goes on inside, certainly what goes on in my heart, we struggle with our flesh. And we struggle for many reasons. And certainly one of them is our sinful, the sinful nature that has brought us to where we are and to our need for the Lord Jesus, our need for a Savior, our need for a rock to stand upon. And one of the things that many times in trying to encourage one another, we actually heap burdens on one another. And the church can lead us to a state of condemnation because we do struggle and it just all doesn't go away because we want it to. All these difficulties, all our the temptations that we fall into. And so what I shared and will remind you of is that in chapter 7, Paul speaks about the married woman who is wed to a husband. And in our case, and in the case that we're speaking of here, this husband we were betrothed to has nothing to do with our choice. We were betrothed and married because of our father Adam, our fleshly father Adam. And we're stuck. We cannot get away from it. We cannot get away from that betrothal. We are married to this sinful nature that came, again, from Adam's fall, Adam's sin, Adam eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we're stuck. And yet, the Lord Jesus comes and seeks us out. And he saves us. And even being saved, even having our sins forgiven. Paul is still speaking of struggling here in Romans chapter 7. And just to remind you, he says in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin." This is Paul speaking now. This is not just him speaking for a sinner. He is speaking for himself who knows the Lord Jesus and has walked with him for some time. Sold into bondage to sin. "For that which I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which indwells me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish." Our flesh is going to lead us in this path. Having walked with the Lord for many years, my flesh will continue to lead me into paths of unrighteousness. And it is a struggle that we have. We cannot get away from it. And you know, I back up my statement about this being Paul himself, or certainly a believer speaking. It's in my heart. I don't want to do these things. And that's what he says. I do the very thing I do not wish to do. This is a believer, someone who knows that the law is right and good and is describing God and what he desires of us. And yet we fall short. We cannot help but fall short in the flesh. And again, as you, I know you know, we come to the end of Romans chapter 7. And Paul says, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh the law of sin. There is therefore..." Chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." There are two kinds of life occurring within us. There were two natures within. There was, well, I say that. I don't know exactly how Adam was created, but it appears that there was a fleshly part of him that survived the fall. He lived to be hundreds of years old. But part of him, the spiritual part of him, died the day he ate that fruit, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, just as God promised, "If you eat of it, you will die." He wasn't just saying that you're going to decay and get older and decay and eventually die of whatever, sickness or accident, whatever. He died that day. His spirit died. And he is our earthly father. We are descended from him. And that is how we are betrothed to that sinful nature. We can't get away from it. We are going to struggle with it. And Paul knows very clearly that the Lord Jesus has paid the price for that. And that's what this beginning of chapter 8 is talking about. He's saying, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." We are in Christ Jesus. Even though we know we struggle, even though we know we fall short, there is no condemnation because the Lord Jesus has taken our sin. Our brother Paul last week shared on the two goats, or two sheep, I guess. Are they sheep? Goats. They're goats. Sorry. Two goats in Leviticus. This was a picture that God gave the people, the children of Israel, and he's given to us in the scripture that one goat paid the price. He died. The sin of Israel was put on that goat, and he was slain, and his blood was poured out, and it was poured out on the altar, and the body was burned. He died. The other goat, I'll call it I don't think you'd call it this, the goat of hope. The sin of the nation was not just paid for. It wasn't, we aren't ex-cons. We don't have a record. There is no more record. That all that we have done, all that we were guilty of, all that we have been forgiven is also forgotten. As far as God is concerned, we are set free. And all that sin went out into the wilderness to be forgotten, to be set aside, to be left behind so that we can move on as God's children, as Israel was intended to go forth. And of course, they still had to have sacrifices. Our sacrifice is the Lord Jesus, who is the full and complete sacrifice. There is nothing that falls short. There is no condemnation because of him, because of what he did, fully and completely. And it wasn't just that he took it away and says, okay, now do better. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, now do better. I've given you another chance. All the marks against you have been erased. Don't do any more. He knows we're stuck. While we're in this flesh, our flesh was betrothed to the other man, to the sinful nature. So, what is our hope? We are going to struggle. But the Lord Jesus does not let us go. And I know you know that. Just as Naomi testified, the Lord Jesus has not let the Dong people go. He has not let her mother go. He has not abandoned her. He has not abandoned us in any way. And he never will. I want to remind you about Abraham. Back in chapter 4 of Romans, Paul tells us that, speaking of Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, for if Abraham was justified by works, in other words, if he had to work to do what he was attained anything, he would have something to boast about. This is chapter 4, verse 2. But not before God. For what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, the one who earns his way, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing upon the man to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those, David speaking in Psalm, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Is this blessing then upon the circumcised or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say, faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. I'm going to stop there. Faith is is how we live. And I don't know exactly what that means to you. But it is by faith that Abraham was made righteous. It was his faith. And what did that look like? Did he earn that? Did he go out from Ur to the promised land and then be declared righteous? No. He believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He believed God, trusted God, and went forth. That's where we are. We need to believe what the Lord Jesus has said. We need to trust him that these things shall not overtake us, that our sin will not overwhelm us, that we are not condemned, that we are righteous. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. I know you have heard that, all of that. And I don't know exactly how you hear what I'm saying. But what I want you to hear is that we do not have to suffer under condemnation. We are going to have it. We're going to have sin. We're going to have things that cause us to fall. It's there. It's the sinful nature. It's the old man that we're wedded to in the flesh, that the flesh is wedded to. So how does this come about? Paul is talking about his own internal struggle. I don't think there's a lot of other places, and I haven't done a thorough study, but there are not a lot of places where someone like the Apostle Paul tells you what's going on inside him. What's happening? And chapter 7, he's telling that. He's telling us that. This is what he's struggling with. And I know he's right. It's true with me. I've been born again for over 50 years, and it's still true with me. I haven't earned a place. I haven't got a place of standing because I'm a good boy, because I don't sin anymore. So, what is our situation? If you look at Romans 8 further in the chapter, and this is where I want to get to today, the rest of that is background. In verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings in this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth until now, together until now. And not only this, but we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body." I want to pause there. I'm going to continue. When Adam fell, he took creation with him. Now, creation did not sin, but creation was there for him. Creation was there as God's expression of himself, and he turned creation against man because we needed to struggle. We needed to suffer. If you recall, he says, the ground will no longer produce fruit for you, but thorns and thistles it will produce. You will have to sweat to live, to raise what you need for life. It is going to be a struggle for you. Creation was bound. Creation was forced to do what it was not created to do. It was not the... The creation is longing, according to the Apostle Paul, is longing to be set free. It's bound. It is bound because of us. It is bound because of mankind. In us, there's a glimmer of hope because we have the Lord Jesus. We have the Lord Jesus. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. We're not free from it because we still have this flesh. This flesh is going to be transformed. The Lord is going to do that. He says, we are waiting in verse 23, we're waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. We're looking forward to the time when we can go back to be what God created us to be and to live with Him and to have fellowship with Him. But for now, we struggle. We have first fruits. We don't have it all. We have the promise. We have the first fruits by the Spirit. Do you groan when you read the news? You know, Yvonne, I think, mentioned it earlier. You know, the things that are going on in the world, they're just pain. It's painful to watch the sin of the world, to see the effects of it. The Spirit within us groans. We want to walk with the Lord Jesus. We want to be transformed. We want to make ourselves available to God. We want to open ourselves, maybe that's a better way to say it, to be transformed. And we do that according to verse 24, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. We are hoping, we are waiting to be transformed, we are waiting to be completed. It is going to happen. The Lord Jesus has done it, has done the work. But we still have this struggle with this flesh, with our flesh. So what do we do? Do we do anything? We turn ourselves over to Him. We have hope. We don't see it. We don't see it done. But we know what He has done. He is our hope. That is what Abraham saw. He believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. I have hope. I have faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I don't see it yet, but I have hope. I have hope in the one who is able, who is faithful. So we wait for it. We find ourselves struggling with sin. We find ourselves struggling with temptation. And what do? We need to trust in the one who has done it, has done all for us. Verse 26, in the same way the Spirit, the Lord sent us the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to be with us, to live within us. In the same way the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We are unable to, we don't even know what to do except to come to Him, to trust in Him, to wait upon Him, to know that He knows and that Let me finish. Let me keep on reading here. With groanings too deep for words, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That's the Lord Jesus. He and the Spirit are searching our hearts. He is knowing what the Holy Spirit is seeing. And he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. We are called according to his purpose. It is his purpose that we know him. It is his purpose that we believe that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, the Savior of all the world. He wants us to live in that. He wants us to live by that. And when we struggle in hope, we give ourselves over to him. We are reminded. Reminded of what? Reminded of what he has done, that he has called us according to his purpose. For whom he, verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We are to be conformed. We're not going to be able to do it. We can't do it, but we are going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren, and whom he has predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. He has done these things. These things are in place. The Lord Jesus is the rock on which we stand. These things are solid. These are not maybes. These are not something you have to earn. You cannot earn it. You can only trust him for it. It is a matter of faith. It is a matter of believing that what he said, he will do. That what he has done is full and sufficient, and that God has given it to us freely because we can't earn it. This is what he has wanted from us from the beginning. But he has made it possible. Our Lord Jesus has done all. And in him we walk in, just as Abraham, he believed God. He believed what God called him and said, I want you to leave here, take your stuff, and go to the land that I will show you. And he believed him. And the work came forth that he went. We believe our Lord Jesus. And we are made righteous. And we are being conformed to his image. We are predestined. We are called. We are justified. We are glorified. Have been. The tense here that's used is past. It's been done. It's not a matter of maybe. It's not a matter of, well, we'll see how it turns out in the end. We know the answer. Jesus. Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we are thankful and we praise you. We praise you for what you have done in us, done for us. We praise for this picture, this inside look, as it were, into the Apostle Paul's heart and into his heart that was united with you, that wrote these words. Lord, that we may grasp you because you have said we can, not because we have worth. That we are worthy, but because you are and because you have said it is You have said we can. Lord, you are victorious. You are the solid rock. You are the one upon whom we can depend. You are faithful. You will cause all things to come together as they are intended to be, not as we want them in our fleshly mind, but Lord, as you intend them to be. There are things that we simply do not understand and do not want to accept. We struggle with this crackdown in the government in China against the believers, against the Dong people. Lord, we don't understand that, but Lord, you are faithful. Lord, we see in our country the deterioration, the turning away, the sinfulness out in the open. There is no shame, Lord, for the things that men do. And yet you know, and you have control. Your government will have no end. The increase of your government, there will be no end. Lord, we can trust you. We want to walk on the path that you have walked. We want to walk in the way that you will lead us. We want to go forward, trusting in you, because you are trustworthy, and Lord, you will show us what it is you want us to see. You will lead us. Lord, we will be as springs of water in the desert because you are in us. Lord, we desire that the world would know and turn from its evil to you, the Savior. Lord, that your purpose will be accomplished in your people, that you will live your life out through your people. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that your words do not equivocate. You have done these things. You are victorious. You are the healer. You are the Savior of mankind. Thank you, Lord. Help us to walk in confidence in you. You know our frame. You know our weakness. Your Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words, Lord. We praise you. We thank you that you intercede for us. According to your name and according to your purpose, Lord, we pray. Amen.